Power in the name. I love being with you guys. I'm here twice a month, speak once a month. The other time, I do the same in Calhoun, so I'm here half the time. And before I get into the message today, let me just bring you up to speed with some stuff that the Lord's doing in this region and prophetically that's going on. As we have three different teachers over the month, we do that to, we think, well, in Ephesians 4, I'm on five different cold medicines, so if I stall a little bit, go help him, Jesus. He needs all he needs. And in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, he says the goal of leaders in the church is maturity. And we see that on the communion. He says the officers or the leads we've put over there as apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, five gifts Jesus gives to the church. But the goal is maturity. And so we cycle through. We do the same thing in Calhoun. It's a slightly different rotation. But we have different teachers because if you listen to me all the time, you'll get strong in what I'm strong in, but you'll stay weak in what I'm weak in. Unless you balance it out with other teachers. And so that's why we do that. And one of my strengths or opportunities the Lord has is to network with other people and sort of a prophetic type vision that the Lord's doing in this area. So let me just share a few things before we get going. In 3 weeks is John David Kirby. He's coming. We've now worked out a schedule with him and Tom and Renee Lunger. John is a prophet. Renee and Tom were over their church. I go twice a year to their church in Augusta, Georgia in July, minister a lot. I go in January just to hang out. I just go and watch and observe and just be a support, and like I do here when I'm not preaching. But I go there twice a year. And so we're trying to get a little bit more organized because we need the prophetic here. We've got a lot of prophetic people, but we don't want to forsake that component. In this area, it's known for a lot of good teaching, but it's not known as much for strong prophetic voices. And prophetic, you have to have the prophetic. The things have to be seen in the spirit before you can walk them out in the physical. And the prophetic, or prophets, which is different than the gift of prophecy, we don't have time to go into that, but there's office of prophets. They can see things that are happening and speak into it, and it starts opening up our vision, enlarging our vision, and helps us to move in that direction. We do that ourselves, but you also need people from the outside, because a lot of times we tend to get into a rut or tend to do things the way we've always done it, and we need somebody to bring it, come in, and help, help us to see. That's why we bring in outside people. So he's coming in three weeks. Where we've set it up now, he's going to come about this time every year. He came last year in August. He's going to come once a year on Sunday mornings. Last spring, he came to my house for two nights. So we're going to set that cycle up. I've already talked to him last week or week before last. In the spring, he's going to come two meetings at my house. And then in the fall, do a meeting here as it is, works out with his schedule. And we think that's the right balance. Those two meetings, for those of you that had it at our house, were very, very powerful. It was just really cool. They were very powerful on Sunday. But the prophetic speaks into our lives what God sees us that sometimes we can't because we get maybe contaminated is too strong a word, but we get in a rut. We tend to put blinders on us. How many of you are doing something now that you did not do before because somebody spoke something into you? Or how many times you thought God was telling you to do something, but you need a confirmation that came along and just confirmed it? That's that gift of encouragement, and we need that. And we need it in a ministry. We need it in our own lives. I could go on for quite a little while about how the prophetic voice of the Lord. John 4:23 and 24 says, the end times are coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit is revelatory spirit. Truth that he just drops into you. It never goes against the word of God. It fits, but it's in areas where the word of God's not specific, and you also have scriptures that we live our lives by, and so you got this thing that you're like two rails to keep you going in a straight path. But there's so many. This church would not be here without prophetic revelation. There's so many stories of what we're doing, who's doing it, that the Lord just dropped in to my spirit or whoever was over it. Like Ken Cooper, my brother, he's not here right now. He was here, he was a worship leader for 13 years. Have you ever heard the story of how he became to be the worship leader? I was in Augusta, Georgia in 1992. And I knew I was eventually going to be going somewhere to plant a church. I guess I knew by then it was Dalton. Well, now you have to understand, Ken is five, for those of you that know him, is 5 years younger than me. I didn't really know him. I mean, when he was in eighth grade, and when he was in seventh grade, I was a senior. Well, how many people keep up with their seventh grade brother when you're a senior? I mean, you know he's there. And then I went off to college, and then I moved to Augusta. So I saw him like three times a year. You know, when I come back at home, that was it. I didn't really know him. Didn't even really know where he was in his life. When the Lord told me, he said, all right, you're going to Dalton. A year before that, before I knew, I guess I knew it was Dalton, but I didn't know the timing. A year before that, the Lord said, you need to ask Ken Cooper to be the worship leader. I didn't even know if he could do the job. And those are times you have to make sure it's the Lord, follow the Lord on that. But I mean, he was a blessing for 13 years until the Lord reassigned him. There's so many stories like James Busey came into here, who's the pastor of this local congregation. He came into here. I didn't really know him very well. Some of you, like the Jones, had known him for years. I mean, he sat there. I didn't really know him there. I was in Kenya. I know exactly where I was. I was in the central highlands of Kenya. It was just the voice of the Lord said, he's to be the pastor, because I was looking, because I knew I needed to go to Calhoun to do some things. And he said, he's to be the pastor. I didn't even know him. Now, you're not dumb. You walk in wisdom. You do some research. But I don't know if I ever would have gone there. He would have never volunteered for the job. He'd been pastor at two other churches. He was ready not to do that anymore. And so those things like that, just to help you go in the right direction, and then he gives you wisdom. And so that's the value of the prophet. And so when people like that prophetically speak over you here, I've spoken over many of you that your destiny and direction, and you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. And it wasn't me, it's just me, a channel that the Lord pushes, you know, uses, because he uses people. That's the prophet's reward. The Bible says if you honor a prophet, you'll get the prophet's reward. Well, what is that? It's vision. The prophet is the seer part of the fivefold. And so if you honor them and respect them, vision and insight into your own life and maybe your work area or your ministry will increase as you honor them. It rubs off on you. And so that's good. So that's why we have these people come in. A lot of times people go, well, if they're not brought up from within inside of us or here, why are we bringing people inside? Don't we have enough here? And the answer is no. No one group of people have everything. God never makes it that way. He makes us interconnected on purpose. It keeps pride from coming in. It keeps us humble, keeps us interconnected in its body. And the trick is to figure out where we make these connections at. Amen. And it's like this region. I was sent here to start this church. And even to this day, people go, why are you here? You're not like us. And I know what they're saying. What they're saying is I don't necessarily have the same mannerisms, the same thought processes of somebody that grew up here. Not that what was grown up here was wrong, but I have thought processes from growing up somewhere else. But the Lord sent me here because sometimes we need an outside influence to identify those processes that are good to encourage them, and then also to identify the processes that we think are normal, which really aren't good. Have you ever had somebody come in and outside immediately start, and you shouldn't do this way, but they can tell where, why are you doing this? This is just not healthy. Well, we've always done it this way. The Bible calls them territorial spirits. Almost immediately after I moved here, the Lord showed me four of the strong territorial spirits that were over this area. Now, where I came from, we had our own territorial spirits that I just lived under and probably thought they were normal. But the religious spirit was very strong. Poverty is extremely strong. Control and lust, namely in the areas of money, was here. And the Lord just showed me that because where I was from, they had different territorial spirits. Why did he show that to me? That I'm better? No. I got my own things I got to deal with. But to help free this area in those things. Because sometimes, and so that's why there's a lot of times in this church, especially many of the people came in from the outside to help deliver us all from this thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so Friday, but I want to tell you this about this. Frankly, I'm surprised at this, but there's been enough prophetic insight now. Been here for 20 years. Is God loves this area. I'm telling you, his hand is strong on Northwest Georgia. I cannot tell you how strong it is. I don't see a whole lot in the natural, but let me just give you a couple things in the spirit, because it happens in the spirit before it manifests in the spirit, in the physical, that God has a plan over this area that's unbelievable. And I don't think you and I often realize it. We just see ourselves as this place in Northwest Georgia. And I'm just trying to put all the pieces together, but I'm telling you, he has a plan for revival in this area that is just, it's going to be unprecedented.
Hallelujah. Come on.
He really is.
Hallelujah.
Now, the religious spirit is very strong here. The political spirit is very strong here. And the reason is because God started a work in the Moravians. You mind if I sort of take a rabbit trail here for a little bit? We can shoot the rabbit in a minute. Usually where it's darkest, it's a sign that that's where light has tried to shone and the devil has concentrated his forces to put it out. Okay? You know, this year was the 175th anniversary of the Trail of Tears. We've got a little brochure back there. I don't know where I put it. We've got a brochure back there of some things. It's a long story, but the history, the mantle, the Moravians. A mantle is this. It means a mission. Wherever you see a mantle in the Bible, it means a mission, something to be accomplished. It's different than the anointing. The anointing stays with a person, but the mantle stays with a place or an assignment. That's why when Elijah went to heaven, he had to pass his mantle on to Elisha. But there is a mantle that was on the Moravians, and you can read this if you don't. I know I'm going to fly through it because I don't want to spend the whole time talking about this. But we did a lot of work. We did a lot of insight. 2002, 2003, an intercession meeting, 11 years ago. The Lord told us, said, there are wells that have been stopped up here, and if you can find them, I will give you that mantle. Well, I'd been here about 7, 8 years, or 10 years, I guess, or 9, whatever. You get the message. Well, I never even heard of the Moravians. A long story short, the greatest missionary organization that started modern missions came out of a place called Moravia, which was now Germany. And they sent out more missionaries than they had people. They did 100 years of prayer. That's where IHOP and Mike Bickle get their model from. Do you realize they came here? 2 of the 5 missions in America were in this region, in Dalton, Georgia. They were sent out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which is right near the prophetic headquarters of Morningstar that we're under. And then they sent one down to Calhoun. I didn't know any of this. By then, we'd already started the Calhoun congregation. We'd already come up under Morningstar. And the Lord said, you know, you've done good. You've listened to my voice. You come under Morningstar. You started a church in Dalton. Then you started one in Calhoun. But, you know, you're just following in the steps of what somebody else has already done that I'm trying to rebirth in this area. That's a big picture. And he said, those people started something, and they started a revival among the Cherokees. Do you realize when the president of the United States, Andrew Jackson, and Lord help my mind to get faster here, the president of the United States, and then the Atlanta, the state government, kicked them out in 1833 with the Trail of Tears. There was a full blown revival among the Cherokees. They were all becoming Christians. It was a Christian tribe. Most people don't realize that. And it started with the Moravians. And I think the devil was just scared to death of what was going to happen. They were very prophetic people. The Moravians were apostolic because they were an ascending organization. It says the church is built on the apostles and the prophets. And what he was doing was, in the Cherokee, was turning that tendency to be prophetic with the dream catchers and all the spiritual stuff they was doing. He was saying, use the Star Wars thing, that's the dark side. They were turning it around and using that gift for God.
Glory to God. Fantastic.
I'm telling you, you don't hear this side of the story. You go back and you'll see it's true. And this is Craig's opinion. I believe the God or the devil wanted to shut it down so bad what was happening here. I mean, their headquarters was at Echota State Park, which is in Gordon County, right where Calhoun's at. It's just a little northeast of there. It's not much left there, but if you want to go there, you can. They came up with this whole thing about gold. And people just went nuts, and they did the land lotteries out of the state of Georgia, and the Supreme Court ruled it illegal. The president, Andrew Jackson, which was from Nashville, which I'm going to do a full circle here, evidently is what we're going to talk about for a few minutes, because you need to understand the significance of who you are and where you walk. It's not just because of you, but where you walk in this area. Is Andrew Jackson overrode the Supreme Court, which is unconstitutional, and kicked them out for gold. If you read the story, there really wasn't any gold there. Greed overtook the land. And that's why Northwest Georgia is the poorest part of this state. See, the sins of your forefathers have consequences down. And that's why poverty is such an area here, is because we gave in to greed, which when it's not fueled correctly makes you poor. And this is that the poorest part of the state is this area. But the Lord's going to turn it around, because it didn't start out that way. It didn't start out that way. And right now, those Moravians are part of the great cloud of witnesses saying we started something. Those Cherokees are part of the great cloud of witnesses saying we started something. The devil did win, but we win the war. I'm looking for a people that will rise up and reclaim the mantle of revival that had started in this area. Is that too mystical for you? And so we're battling this poverty spirit. We're getting slow victory over it, but it is slow. But let me tell you what happens when you deal with it head on. Me and my mom or Doreen met with a lady named Daphne Swilling on Friday. It was a cool meeting, about a two-hour meeting. Let me give you a little background. When we started understanding what the Moravians was and realized that's one of the wells, you can read that little brochure. We figured out what their anointing was. What does that mantle mean? I mean, it could be for anything. Mantles are for different things. It's all in this little brochure that's in that Moravian room. The Lord said, you've got to honor the Moravians. That's why we just did a little room. It's nothing big, but did the best we knew how. To honor them, you have to honor your spiritual fathers and mothers if you ever want to pick up and walk in what they had. So that's why they do that. That's why we're doing that. But at that time, a lot of people said, we need to do reconciliation, restitution, pray over the land. You know, bind up the curse that was put on us by our white forefathers. And I just knew by the Spirit, if any of you are around, you remember this, I said, no, that's already been done. When has it been done? I don't know, but the Lord's telling me we don't need to do that. We need to figure out where to go next. And over time, I realized that an Indian named Nigel Pond came here and did something at Fort Mountain, did something at Spring Place. And, of course, I didn't know any of this at that time. Anyway, this meeting on Friday, this was the lady that did all of that. She was the one that did all the stuff with, brought in Nigel Pond, brought in, did the Fort Mountain thing, did this bunch of meetings at Spring Place thing, and did all of that. And then the Lord took her out of the region. She always wondered what happened here with that mantle. She did her piece. And then somebody came in the store, and Lynn, I don't quite know the whole story, took her into the Moravian room. She found this brochure, took it back to Daphne, who lives up in Hickson, and she goes, that's where the next stage went. So we just got to do our part, and the Lord puts it together. She moved from Dallas-Fort Worth to come here and do this. Does God love this region or not? Does God want to birth something, a revival, to unstop those wells that were stopped up way back when? She ended up moving to Hickson. This is where all the Trail of Tears started, but they went through Tennessee. The Lord said, Georgia's not ready, but start with Chattanooga. She got a councilman who ended up being the mayor. They did an official proclamation, brought in Indians, and they asked them for forgiveness and invited them back to their land. That's cool, isn't it?
Wow.
The government did their part. The churches have already done their part, and the churches here have already done their part. But But God wants a realignment because it was the government that kicked them out. And it dawned on me when I was sitting there Friday. This is Craig's opinion, but I think it's the Lord. Moravia is now Germany. They were sent from Germany to here. They were kicked out. Right after this reconciliation thing in Chattanooga, how many of you remember what economically happened in Chattanooga? Volkswagen came in and built a plant that directly and indirectly employs 6,000 people. And I remember at the time, and of course it's a German company, I remember at the time, Tennessee was not going to win. How many of you remember that? They were like third or fourth down the list. Alabama knew they were going to get it down there where the Nissan plant is or whatever. And the Lord told me, just spoke to my spirit on Friday. He said, because of that prayer of breaking the curses on the land, he said, I could open it up and they're starting to come back. And the Germans, or the Volkswagen, just announced that they're going to expand the plant, build a second vehicle there, and another 3,000 to 4,000 jobs. I'm telling you, when you get things right spiritually and your sins of your forefathers do affect you, he can realign things. It took 7 years, but she then went to Nashville to do it for the whole state. It took 7 years before they would do it, do that proclamation. Because you got to realize Andrew Jackson was from Nashville. If you've ever been to Nashville, he's like worshipped, man. Statues, pictures, the Capitol's full of his pictures. He's a son, but... So if you say, reject and apologize for what you're doing, what are you doing? You're saying your great-granddaddy would messed up. It's a big deal. It took 7 years, but March of this year, unanimous in both houses of whatever they call it in Nashville, apologized to the Indians and asked for forgiveness. Wow. I tell you what, it opens up channels. See, what we do spiritually affects physically what we do. She asked me about the state legislature here in the city of Dalton here. Were they willing to do that? I said, I really don't know. I said, that's not my anointing. I said, that sounds like yours. I said, but we'll support you in whatever you need to do. It needs to be done here. Because I want this area to not be the poorest area in the state of Georgia anymore, among everything else. And it may take years and years, I don't know how long. But I told her, anything you want to do, if you want to go back and pray over that land, anything you want to have, we'll support you. Because the state of Georgia was the one that did the land lotteries. They're the ones that kicked them out. There wasn't a Dalton here at that time. So I don't know how all that plays in. But it's a cool story. All this is happening, God's circling. Because I'm telling you, something's going to happen here bigger than what we're just doing. And we need prophets to help declare. We need apostles to help build. And it takes a vision beyond the natural of what you have. Lynn was telling me the story of she, through a connection, she knows somebody that was a missionary in Guam for their entire life. They live now here in Dalton. They had a dream. They woke up. They're retired. Had a dream recently and woke up and had this dream of, of this revival in Dalton. Just, did you ever get any more details? Just a great revival and a great hunger in Dalton. And he was like, is this God? Is this not God? When he woke up, his friend, was it West Virginia or Virginia? His friend that was in Virginia, a lifelong friend, called him and said, I just had this dream about your area. It was the exact same dream down to the details. See, he's speaking to prophets. He's speaking to those that are in that place. And so why would God do all that? Just to tempt us? No. He's doing all that because he loves you. And he wants to see you blessed. And he wants to see your land blessed. And he also loves those Christians that were here 175 years ago. And the Cherokees that were removed, and the Moravians that came that were removed, that did their part, and he still has to uphold his part. See, the Holy Spirit's going to bring revival to places that we sow seeds, or else he's a liar. And a lot of times we can't see our part. Well, just this little part doesn't make a big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. It's a chess game. Maybe you're a rook, maybe you're a knight, maybe you're a pawn. It doesn't matter, but we need it. And the chess master's moving the pieces around. And sometimes the devil just gets in and messes up stuff. Well, that's okay. He came in and messed up stuff at the Garden of Eden. And I tell you now, if the devil had known that it was going to bring about Jesus Christ, the second Adam, if you know the theology, came in and did what he did, he would have never done that in the Garden of Eden. He would have never crucified him. Instead of trying to stir up people to kill him, he would have killed those who were trying to kill Jesus. Because when he came out of the grave 3 days later, he realized, uh-oh, I have messed up. Because now he says, I have the keys to death and hell. And see, man, all those years lived in fear of death and hell. He says, hey, there'll be a body transformation there. Any Doctor Who fans? They had the season start off last night. Any of y'all watch that? We're Doctor Who fans. I know we're geeks. The 12th Doctor, 13th regeneration or something. Y'all are looking at me. Y'all know. Have you ever heard of Doctor Who? Yeah. All right. He regenerated and became something different. Jesus Christ, when he came out of that grave, when we die, we just regenerate. Paul says, it doesn't matter if I live or die. If I live, I gain. But if I stay here on earth, the devils know my name. How'd you like to live in such a way that the devils know your name? Nice. Yeah. Why? Because you keep taking from them.
Yeah.
Well, how do you keep taking from them? It's real simple. We often think of Christianity as this big event thing where lightning happens and thunderbolts happen and all this stuff happens. That's never happened to me. I've never heard the audible voice of God. A couple times it's been close. I know he does speak to people that way. That's not his preferred method. Why? Because the teacher's inside of us. If he's inside of us, he doesn't have to yell. If he's yelling, it's probably because you've been ignoring the still small voice. Somebody recently said, if an angel shows up at my door and starts speaking to me as a Christian, what should I do? I said, you better start repenting that he had to show up at your door. Because that means you've ignored them a lot. Well, he did it all the time in the Gospels and the Old Testament. That's because they didn't have the Spirit of God inside of them. Now, he does show up to people. It's usually major reassignments. And that happens. But Christianity is more simple than that. He says, I love the earth. I love people. And my original commandment was in Genesis 3. I give you dominion. Rule and reign, be fruitful and multiply. That's what I call the original commandment. We know the two greatest commandments, love your God, love others. But he didn't need that in the garden because you're already doing it. Hey, you know, nowhere in scriptures did he rescind that commandment. And so over Dalton, your little plot of land, your apartment, your job, your family, that's your garden. Matthew 6:10 says this. I'm bouncing around. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Here it is. It says, Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, how many of you have quoted this a lot in your life, which art in heaven? King James says, hallowed be thy name. How many of you can repeat that? Thy kingdom come. I did this a lot when I was younger, but I never really paid attention to this next one, really. Thy will be done on earth, in my apartment, in my family, in my garden, as it is in heaven. Many times in Christianity, and I've been very guilty of this, we have a philosophy of the world where God's going to judge it, burn it up, we're all going to die. Or the devil's going to steal it from us. You know what I'm talking about? So hang on for the ride. Have you ever seen those pictures of a cat scratching on the back of a door and they're falling down a door? And you see these 10 scratch marks of this cat. Am I the only one's ever seen that? Hang 10 or whatever it is. How many of you feel like many times Christianity's that way? And I know sometimes it is a struggle because it's a struggle against darkness. You're trying to bring something in. But you know, Christianity, God left you here on this earth because he needs you. Because he's not going to abandon it. Or else he would be abandoning what he asked Adam and Eve to do. Why did he not give up on us? Why did Jesus become a man to help carry on the work that men were designed to do? Because we are created in his image to be fruitful and multiply. And he wants every one of you, wherever you're at. You may be in a stinky job. You may have stinky relationships. He believes in you and the Holy Spirit inside of you to help change that, to be fruitful and multiply. Because if you leave, there is no light. And he loves your place of work. He loves that jerk that sits beside you. He loves them. Otherwise, he'd just snatch you off the earth as soon as you get saved. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? How many times I said, God, just take me home. Let somebody else do this. When the other person's going, no, don't leave me here. I want to go too. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says this. Let each person lead the life the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. Every one of you, he has called you to something. We've been going over several times that I've been teaching the Jesus follower logo. Have y'all seen those? And that's what I've been teaching from. I've been going real slow, but the little, you've seen it on the emails, you see it on the overhead sometimes. Jesus follower. I boiled down, okay, what does it mean to be a Jesus follower? I tell you what, if you could get this half and you get this half, this is your notes for today. And, I said, what does it mean to be a Jesus follower? What does it mean to change the world around you? There's a lot of steps, but I narrowed it down to these four things. First one is hear. And we talked a lot about hearing. How many of you remember that? How to hear the voice of God. And we talked about, maybe I need to go through it again. Was anybody there when I taught? One person. All right, so we need to teach that again. We went through, spent 2 weeks on how to hear the voice of God. This is a big deal. This is a basic rite of Christianity. When we become Christians, the first thing we should do is learn how to hear the voice of God. It says, those who are the sons of God, those who hear him are the sons of God. And it's amazing to me, very few people know God's voice. But that's the first thing we need to know. And that's where we spent, I don't want to get on to all that, but it's on the tapes, maybe I'll teach it again. Maybe that's what I'll do the rest of the year till we get good at hearing God's voice. Because it's not just for the super spiritual. There is no super spiritual. We're all super spiritual. How to put yourself in a position to hear God's voice. And then when you hear God's voice, he'll start teaching you things. So how do you be a Jesus follower? Said, all right, I'm going to learn. I'm going to go. You can just put those somewhere if y'all want some more to put on your refrigerator or whatever. And Christianity is this: hearing, learning, because he always many times bring in things, different thought patterns than what you have, and then applying it. And then you repeat it for the rest of your life. Well, when do I arrive? When you're perfect. Well, I know? You'll know. Because there's nothing else to learn or apply. I'm being satirical here. But these are the steps. Hear, learn, apply, repeat the rest of your life. And I'm telling you, if you'll do these steps, I can't tell you where you'll end up. I can't tell you in the middle, but I tell you, you'll die doing everything that you were created to do. Ephesians 2:20 says, you were created for good works that were created beforehand. First of all, you're created to walk with him. But when you walk with him, he starts giving you stuff to apply once you get to know him. And it's not like a master-slave thing, but he'll start. How many of you started hearing God and he goes, you know, there would be more blessings in your life if you'd work on this one little area over here? I don't want to work on that area over there. That's how I was raised. That's what, you know, my grandparents have all done. And he's usually not condemning. He said, well, you'll get what your grandparents always got. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
and so many people think of God as the rules of do's and don'ts to please him. No, it's to do more fruit and multiply in your own life. How many of you, I know we all have problems. This thing about you become a Christian, you don't have any problems anymore, that's crazy. All Christianity does is give you ability to handle your problems in a way that comes out well.
Amen. Yes.
And a supernatural component to help you get there.
Yes.
How many of you are better off, even with your problems, than if you just stayed where you before you were a Christian?
Oh, amen.
And it's that process. Hear, learn, apply. And so he'll come to you and he'll ask you to apply stuff for you inside of you. Because sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And then as we grow in that, you're going to find a second component of apply. He'll start showing you ways to influence others around you to bring God's love, God's blessing, God's kingdom into their life, and they're looking for it. How many family situations have I counseled? You move in and you work with somebody and they sort of get whole, but then you realize, wow, they got a spouse that's messed up, they got kids that are messed up, they got in-laws that are just way too controlling. But now that they've applied a little bit, figured out who they are, got stronger, then you start trying to spread the circle. And it's not just getting rid of evil. It's spreading the blessings and the Garden of Eden and God's blessings around you. Do you understand that? That's how the world is changed. That's how the earth has changed, is one life at a time. It's no different than the Garden of Eden. One family at a time, Adam and Eve, through their kids, was to slowly multiply and be fruitful in the earth. And so he's never given up on that. It's just a whole lot harder now, because how many of you have to go sweat and toil every day? It'd been nice not to have to punch a clock, wouldn't it? Did you ever punch a clock? That's just terrible. Man, 1 minute late, I'm going to get docked. I mean, have you ever done that kind of... That's craziness. Are y'all full yet?
No.
All right, I don't want to soak the sponge too much here.
Come on with it.
Let each person, 1 Corinthians 7:17, lead the life the Lord has assigned to him. Now, how do we become fruitful and multiply and start bringing revival into this area? We need a supernatural component. I'm telling you, we just need God to show up sometimes.
Amen.
We need his presence. But he's also relying on us. He brings it through us too. Well, what do you mean with that? When you become saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. That's the presence of God. He's inside of you. He's inside of you to change you. But he also wants to get on the outside of you of what we call the anointing to change others around you.
Yes, sir.
There are times people at your work just need encouraging. Susan and I, as an example, we went down to a wedding a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. There was this lady from France that was sitting at our table, and she, I don't want to get into all the long story, but her husband divorced her 20 years ago. It's amazing when you walk with God and you have sort of a pastoral anointing, how many people just pour their life out on you. You don't do that egotistical. You realize this is an opening for me to bless her. Because
yes.
When you go somewhere, the presence that's inside of you is life to other people. And a lot of times they're around unbelievers all the time. And you walk in, they don't know what it is, but it's the life of God that's inside of you, and they're drawn towards life. So we don't get egotistical, but they're just drawn towards life inside of you. Come find out her husband left her 20 years ago. She raised, I think it was 4 kids. It was hard. She had to get a job, teacher, you know, that kind of thing. Well, as we were leaving at the end of the night, the Lord just prompted. I mean, you could just sort of see. I don't know if anybody else saw it, if it was just God, but you could just tell she was still trying to wrestle. She never said anything, but, you know, wrestling with all that and self-worth. And as we were leaving, I didn't say, thus saith the Lord, but I just... You know, as you shake hands, say it was good to talk to you. I just turned to her and I said, you know, you did a good job. course, people aren't used to that kind of thing. I said, I'm just telling you, you did a good job. You didn't leave your kids. I know it was hard. I know you might not have had money, but you stayed. And from what I can tell, your kids have turned out well. And she just starts crying. Well, I didn't mention God. I didn't mention anything else, but there was life. But the presence of God on me moved to the outside. I sow a little seed that maybe somewhere down the road that softens it up, that it can be followed back up. And she won't even know we had to put words on it, but she'll be able to relate. Okay, this is, I can feel something. I mean, you could feel God. It's like, poof. Like, this is cool. You don't get weird. You don't start shaking and do Pentecostal muggings and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You just encourage it.
Yeah.
That's just a religious spirit most of the time. If you think you have to do it every time. I'm telling you, God wants to give you that same thing for your area of life. Five steps real quick. As you hear God's voice on those lessons that you must not have been here to hear. But if you hear God's voice, and you're in those quiet times, he'll start giving you assignments about his business. See, Jesus at 12, when his parents couldn't find him, they go all the way back to the temple and say, what are you doing? He said, I'm about my father's business. Well, what if you were Joseph, who spent one day out and one day coming back in, worried? Wouldn't you have gotten a little ticked? You weren't about my business, boy. I'm going to teach you some business right now. That's what I would do, wouldn't you? Big spiritual Craig. I'm sure Joseph didn't react that way. It says, I'm about my father's business. At 12, he had enough of a walk with God to realize I'm a part of a bigger picture. See, I need Mr. Jones back here. I need Michael. We all have our parts. And when you don't do your part, my part doesn't get done. But as we each do our parts, eventually, it may even be heaven before we see it. Hopefully not. We start seeing these pieces come together and go, wow, that's what was happening? Wow, that's what was happening? See, where you live, if you've listened to the Lord and done the best you know how, where you live and even your house is not a mistake. You may not even see it now. If you've done the best you can and you're at the job that you know that you're supposed to be to the best knowledge, it's not a mistake that you're there. We may not see all the pieces. Your life is bigger than what you think it is. And six quick steps, Lord willing, I'll make this fast, to try to make sure we get into his call or stay where we need to stay. And something we all need to do is first dedicate your entire life to God. Have you ever done that? I'm not talking about salvation. Since salvation, go, Father, I give you every part of me. I give you my family. I give you my spouse. I give you my work. I give you my finances. Give it all to him. We'll just stay there. Second, ask God, am I where I'm supposed to be? And you probably are. But some of you, sometimes I've ended up in a job. I've ended in a part of the country, maybe where I shouldn't have been, because it looked good. We can't pick based on our own reasoning. Because one day, there is a judgment seat of God where the sins are going to be judged. You won't be there because you'll be you're judged already. When you become a Christian, you say, thank you to God, Jesus. He was judged for my sins. But there is a judgment seat of Christ. I don't know how much you've read into that. That's judgment for Christians. Not judgment for your sins, but it says for your words and deeds since then. I mean, you're going to go to heaven, but it's going to be some kind of judgment. And it says there's going to be gnashing and weeping of teeth. I said that backwards. It's not judgment of sins, but I think it's going to be a judgment. Did you dedicate your life to God and follow me? Because see, there's different rewards in heaven. There's at least four or five crowns. These are crowns, ones for being dying a martyr's death. There's different crowns like that. But at that judgment seat of Christ, I think what's going to happen, this is Craig's opinion, it's not real clear, except that it's going to judge our words. It says, what is gold and silver will stay, what is hay and stubble will not stay. That's what decisions you made based on my leading will not burn up. There'll be rewards. Decisions you make on your own, it wasn't that, you know, I was against you, but you never asked. Those are going to burn up. And I think the crying and the weeping is not crying necessarily over our sins. It's crying over what would have happened if I dedicated my entire life to Him. I think there's going to be potential that we'll see that never manifested because we never went that direction. So it's going to be a crying for lost potential. Because see, this is the time you get to do it. Once you're in heaven, I don't know what they do. Let me give this example, because this keeps me humble. It sounds arrogant, and it's not arrogant if you know my heart. When I came here to start this church, to do what we're trying to do, the Lord made it very clear to me, you're not the first person I called to do this. And He showed me who the previous person was that rejected the call. I know their name. I've met them since then. Good people. See, the mantle is to accomplish something. He's going to keep finding somebody to do it. And if I stop, somebody else will pick up this mantle. Could be next year, could be 100 years. And if I say, listen, I just don't want to do this. I want to do my own thing, stay home, watch Doctor Who every night. Make as much money as I can. When I get to heaven, I'm going to go, my gosh, what did I give up just for Doctor Who sessions? 2001, 2002, I was in much of a dilemma. I'm not going to go into a lot of details. It was a battle for the destiny of this church. I was praying. I knew before it happened what would produce a big church in this city, and I don't want to go there. I knew. I saw it. I called it. And I said, Lord, you know, What about this? He said, you can go there and I'll bless you. You won't be in sin. And then He just stopped. This would have had to change how we worship, downplay the gifts, some things like that. And this was not a one-night struggle here. It's probably 6 months, 9 months. So He just said, you can go there and I'll bless you. But how many of you know there's something else to the other side of the story? Have you ever had the Lord speak to you, something like that? And I said, Lord, what do you want to do? He said, I am going to do this. If you don't do it, that's fine. But I'll have to find somebody else. And He said, I'd rather you do it. Okay, that sounds all glamorous and easy and pick God's. I'm telling you, it's not that easy. You know what I'm saying? Shortly thereafter, we dropped in half by attendance and finances by making that decision.
Oh, man.
But I was fine with it because I had my assignment from God. I wasn't going to stand before the Lord and not say, I've done everything I could do. And we all mess up, but we repent and move on. But when He comes back to earth, and for every one of us, we have that same calling. It may be in the ministry, it may be in the work world, it may be whatever. When he says in Revelation, He says, when I come back to earth, will I find faith on the earth? Let's stand. I didn't go through all this list, did I? Dedicate your life to God. Have faith. And I'm telling you, your position's bigger than what you could think. Well, I'm just so-and-so at this company. I don't have any education. It doesn't matter. Look at the 12 disciples. There was a doctor there. There was also an IRS agent. Most of them were uneducated. But they rocked the world because they aligned themselves with a principle, a person bigger than themselves. Dedicate your life to God. Ask God where to be assigned. Number three, what do you have a passion for? He has put into you a seed. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, I have placed eternity in the hearts of men. Each one of you have a passion for something to see inside, for something in your family or justice in the world. And you go, well, how do I get there? I don't know. But you learn, you hear, you learn, apply. They took this Daphne Swilling and got a resolution 7 years later in Nashville. She's not a pot. She didn't even know who to go to. She didn't even know who to send the thing to. She sent the thing that ended up being the major Republican the main caucus leader of the Republican Party. She didn't know who he was. He asked her, why'd you send it to me? He just said, because God told me to send it to you. It's cool, isn't it?
Yes. So cool.
What do you have a passion for? That's usually an indication of the area that God just wants to explode. Now, this doesn't mean it's going to be a full-time job. We get this mixed up. Like, I work as a software developer during the week. But this is my passion. But the Lord's given me a good job to support the passion.
Yes.
Four, similar. What are your gifts and talents? That's an indication of what God wants to expand in your life, because he's given those things to you. Sometimes supernaturally. Fifth, last two things, continually pray for wisdom. And the sixth, continually pray for the anointing of God. Because we can only accomplish so much in wisdom. But wisdom matched up with his anointing, like what Daphne did. Send it over here. He had already prepared their hearts. Well, it took 7 years. She said the first time they went, they about killed her. But after 7 years, it's a long story. Send it to this person 7 years later, and it happened. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in Northwest Georgia. I thank you that it is exciting, and I thank you that it's coming through with your anointing the people that are in this room. And, you know, I guess I get paranoid after a while. Let me phrase it. I know there's other people in other churches, okay? But this is my authority. People go, well, do you think it's just you? No. Well, give me a break. He's got his people in many different places. But this is my house, your family, the part we are. And Father, I thank you that your anointing is coming through us. And what we think is inconsequential or little, it may be as simple as I want you to reconcile with your spouse. I want you, that thing that y'all keep ticking each other off, to work through it. Well, that's not any fun. I'm telling you, it'll make a difference. It'll cause your garden to bloom. And as your garden blooms, it will affect other gardens. Well, Craig, that problem with anger that you have. Well, I don't want to work on that. That's not very glorious. Well, it is if you're around and the recipient of that anger. Because we don't know where all it'll affect. And so, Father, I thank you. I love being here in Northwest Georgia. I thank you for this assignment. I thank you that each one of us, some are born here, some are sent here. But we are not here by accident. We are here to make a difference in our own family. Lord willing, a bigger part, and maybe even our community. Father, I thank you that you love this area. And we say, we commit it to you. As we commit our lives to you, we commit Northwest Georgia to you. We commit Whitfield County to you, and Gordon County, and Murray, which we're all three areas in. We commit it to you, and we say, your name be Lord over this place. We say, no more poverty be Lord. No more lust, no more religious spirit, no more apathy be Lord over this place. But that the Holy Spirit be Lord over Whitfield, Gordon, and Murray County. And we say, let it be done. He loves Murray County. Do you realize Murray County is the poorest place in the state? Poorest county in Georgia. It's not coincidence, because the Moravians came to Spring Place. And Murray County has been robbed by its forefathers. I don't live in Murray County. James does. Some of you do. He's going to restore it. Where there was the greatest light in this state at one time. He's going to lift that off. Amen. Father do it. Amen. If you need prayer for anything or somebody to agree with you, I'll be up here in the front. Tiffany finished compiling the children's lessons that your kids' lessons have been doing 4 to 8 years old. Awesome thing. You can get a free copy. It's a PDF copy up on the website, or you can order it. They're $8. But it's cool. She did all the drawings, 48 lessons. I've got three of them here. If you have little kids that would like coloring here, I'll give you one. If you're a big kid, you got to buy one or print it off the PDF. But if anybody's got some little kids, there's three of them that would like, that could use them in your household. Is there anybody here?
Yeah, let me have one.
Okay, yeah, there's one for Victoria. Oh, that's right here. You can get that to her. Anybody else? One other person?
Two girls.
Okay, cool. And you can print them off on the website for free. $8 is what it costs us. And so we're not trying to be stingy there, but just the way it is. Amen. I love you guys. And this is fun. And it may be, as Jason says sometimes, a wild, wild ride. But at least we're moving. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Y'all be blessed.